The Karen Reed murder trial saw some more significant developments. Expert witnesses presenting testimonies that challenged the prosecution's narrative. Judge Beverly Cano addressed a potential discovery violation by the defense for introducing Dr. Marie Russell, retired emergency doctor and forensic pathologist, late in the trial. Defense attorney Alan Jackson countered by accusing the state of also delaying discovery, pointing to a late interview with Jennifer McCabe conducted by Lieutenant Tully. Let's take a listen to that.
But for Dr. Russell, what we're doing here today is there's an alleged appears to me to be a violation of the reciprocal discovery obligations of defense counsel regarding Dr. Russell. So let's hear from her today to see what the appropriate remedy is for this violation.
So my intention is to ask her the court understands my sort of guardrails. My intention is to ask her what her qualifications are, which is that's the basis for 1 year. And that's where I'm going to stop. I'm not intending to ask her what her opinions are, conclusions. I'm going to ask her if she's come to opinions and conclusions, but I don't want to have to examine her concerning her full opinions, her full conclusions, what she's based those conclusions on. It's unfair. We've provided the defense everything that the prosecution, everything that we need to provide to them in terms of disclosure. They've got the equivalent of a report. They've got a summary of what she's going to testify to.
When was that provided? My order was 1 week from the start of trial, right?
Well, we didn't, Your Honor, in fairness, they didn't even finish their discovery 1 week before the start of trial. So it's a little unfair for us to be put on the scene.
1 week from the filing of the certificate of compliance.
Well, I can't remember off the... My co-counsel indicates it was the day before trial.
Okay.
So during the course of, look, trial is a dynamic thing. During the course of the trial, I did not know who Dr. Marie Russell was at the time that they filed their certificate of compliance. We then attempted to and did give them the reciprocal discovery that we were obligated to do after they filed their certificate of compliance.
When?
Within 3 days of that. We had been giving them information prior to that, but at least within 3 days of that. We've continued, so the record's clear, we've continued to get additional discovery from the Commonwealth in notices of discovery throughout the trial. I mean, they have not finished. In fact, during the trial, they interviewed Jen McCabe, apparently, had a full interview with her. Lieutenant Tully took a report, dated the report, and then they held on to that report until after she testified. The interview, the report, and the completion of the report were all done before her testimony.
Do you need to call her again?
Oh, Your Honor, and I think the court understands, that's not my point. My point is not I need to call Jennifer McCabe back. I've done the damage that needs to be done on Jennifer McCabe.
Yeah, he's done the damage that he needs to be done on Jennifer McCabe. Dr. Russell testified that the injuries on John O'Keefe's arm, because everybody has their expert witnesses, and, you know, usually you bring an expert witness in that's going to, you know, go with your narrative, and that's what's happening here, appeared to be more consistent with an animal attack rather than a motor vehicle accident. Having seen hundreds and hundreds of car accident victims, I ruled it out very quickly, Dr. Russell stated. She further explained that the wounds were consistent with a large dog attack, a combination of bite wounds and scratches.
Based on your review of all of those materials, were you able to confidently come to any conclusions or opinions about the nature of the injuries suffered by John O'Keefe, specifically as they relate to John O'Keefe's right arm?
Yes.
What is your opinion and conclusion concerning those injuries?
Those injuries appear to be consistent with an animal attack.
Can you be more specific in terms of the type of animal, or are you relegated to simply an animal attack?
Well, they are consistent with a large dog attack. There's a combination of both what I consider bite wounds and scratch wounds on the arm. There were also some puncture wounds in that shirt.
And
I'm sorry, puncture wounds in the shirt?
Puncture holes in the shirt.
And on what do you base the opinion that the injuries are consistent with dog bite or scratch marks?
Well, the patterns. There are several patterns of parallel wounds that appear to be superficial scratches that could have been caused by nails or could have been caused by teeth. There are different angles on the arm and different locations on the arm, and but they're generally oriented in a specific direction. And there's also an area, the distal forearm, which is close to the wrist, which shows what I believe is an arch area of teeth marks.
And what's the significance of the arch area?
Well, so the arch would be the front area of the jaw of the animal, you know, or the dog in this case, where the teeth are tend to be close together and curved. There's a curved pattern to the configuration of the teeth.
And the narrative, I'm sure, that they're trying to play here is that with the dog theory, that the Alberts got rid of their dog a little after this all took place and that the dog attacked. It should be noted that there's a giant forest right there, right across the street, or actually right behind the house. And, you know, there's coyotes, there's all that sort of stuff. We got a dead body sitting there. You know, they do come out and may look at the body. And maybe bite it, you know, could be a possibility. If in fact there are animal wounds on this, it's so confusing for a jury. And the jury didn't hear that testimony, so determining if she can be a witness. But you have one expert here who says, believe me, this is all fact. This is my expert opinion. The next one says, no, believe me. Like, okay.
Yeah.
What's an who's right here? You almost feel more confused by the end of the day.
Well, I'll tell you, as somebody who's worked in the vet field, I'm not an expert. Okay. We all know I am not an expert on bite wounds, but I've got some scars on my arms from having worked in the vet field. And they do look like an animal attack. Yeah. I've seen some pretty aggressive bite marks from police dogs and things like that. Mm-hmm. It does look like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'd have to get up close to those wounds and really take a look at the different angles you're seeing. And is there an entry point to the puncture, mm-hmm. and then a slide, you know, like a fang, things like that. So there's a lot to look at and there's a lot of different perspectives. So she has to have actually been next to the body, I would think, not just pictures, but be able to touch where the wound is and, you know, kind of split it apart and see the different angles that you can see. And I don't know. She sounds like somebody they might have found on social media or something.
Well, the judge questioned Dr. Russell about her qualifications, noting she had no training in accident reconstruction. Despite this, Jackson defended her inclusion, arguing we have contrary evidence and Ms. Reed should be entitled to present that evidence.
All right. It's the Commonwealth's motion. What are you asking me to do? Again, I found a violation of Rule 14. And there are two concerns here, the competency of the witness's testimony, how much she can testify to, whether she should testify at all. What is it you're asking me, Mr. Lally?
Your Honor, I'm asking that the witness be excluded from testifying at the trial for the violation of Rule 14. Specifically, I believe it's Rule 14A6. This is a witness, as the court picked up on, that reached out, albeit through an intermediary, with reference to just sort of discovering or coming upon this case several weeks into the trial. It is concerning given the fact that the witness represented that she had a subscription to the Globe Online, received word of this, and the first time that she had ever seen it or it had grabbed her attention was in that first week of May when, as the court is well aware, there's been widespread media coverage, particularly through the Boston Globe, for years at this point. The limitations of the testimony. It's also concerning because the disclosure from counsel indicated, again, as the court had noted, I didn't want to get into too much as far as for purposes of this voir dire, but there was additional material that was indicated in the disclosure that the witness had reviewed, including the UC Davis related to the canine DNA or the lack thereof, as well as, forgive me, the dog bite history of that specific dog, which also I would note for the court includes photographs of what a dog bite from that specific dog looks like. And that specifically apparently was not provided to this witness, who's then opining on, inferably at least, that that dog was the cause of these particular injuries. However, was not shown specifically anything to do with that bite history as far as by way of reports or photographs. So that juxtaposed or coupled with the immensely late disclosure. I mean, we're talking about at least the sixth week of trial by the time this witness is even mentioned. Not on the defendant's witness list, not mentioned at any point in time during the pendency of the case, and then sort of pops up in the middle of May, and to the point that the limited amount of material or information that's provided by counsel as far as disclosure opinion doesn't come until today.
Additionally, Dr. Oops. Daniel, what?
Oh, I just said, oops.
Oh, yeah. Additionally, Dr. Daniel Wolf and Dr. Andrew Rechner from the ARCCA, a private accident reconstruction company, provided their expert opinions. Dr. Wolf, the director of accident reconstruction at ARCCA, noted that the damage to Reed's SUV did not align with it having struck O'Keefe. The car didn't hit him. And he wasn't hit by the car, period, full stop, Wolf testified, referencing findings from a pretrial hearing. Dr. Rentschler, a biochemical engineer specialist, supported this assertion, further questioning the prosecution's evidence. Defense Attorney Jackson highlighted these expert opinions to bolster their argument that O'Keefe's injuries were not caused by Reed's vehicle. In response to the defense's presentation of Dr. Russell, ADA Lally requested the judge block her testimony, suggesting she tried to inject herself into the case too late. The judge acknowledged the complexity of the issue and stated she would make a ruling soon. She instructed District Attorney Lally to find a rebuttal witness in case Dr. Russell is allowed to testify. The trial continued without jurors present to allow for the voir dire for these expert witnesses, determining the admissibility and scope of the testimonies before the jury returns on Thursday. So, jury did not hear any of those things, but they're trying to determine if these folks can be expert witnesses and the jury can hear their testimony. Should be interesting.
Oh, it just keeps getting better and better. I mean, this is honestly, I finished Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, and this is a really good way to spend my time watching this trial.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah, I know. It's like must see trial television, as bizarre
it is.
As it continues to get. So more on Thursday. So we'll have an update for you on Friday of what's going on here in the trial of Karen Reed.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.